Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Venkis India Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Probal Sen from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Pooja. I welcome all of you and appreciate the time taken to attend this Q4 FY25 and FY25 result call of Venkis. With us, we have the distinguished management from the company, including Mr. J.K. Handa, who's the CFO, Mr. Rohan Bhagwat, the company secretary, and the leaders from the respective segments, Mr. N.K. Toshniwal from the oil seed segment, Mr. Dr. Vijay Tijare, and Dr. P.G. Pedgaonkar from the poultry segment, and Mr. Deepak Khosla from the AHP segment to handle the call from the management side. Without further ado, I'll hand over to the management for the opening remarks, and then we can get into the Q&A. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Probal Sen. A very good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us today for the conference call of Venkis India Limited. The company had published financial results for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2025, along with the information for investors on 12th May. I hope you all have gone through the same. Today, we have with us the unit heads to answer all your queries in respect of their respective segments and the area of operations. Before we start discussing the company's performance, I would like to mention that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Jeevan Handa, our CFO, to make the opening comments. Over to you, Mr. Handa.
Good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to all our shareholders and investors. I am Jeevan Handa, CFO. We are meeting today to discuss on the Venkis earnings call for the quarter ended March 2025, quarter and year ended March 2025. I hope you have gone through the audited results and also the detailed information to investors. For the quarter ended March 2025, the company's financial performance was affected mainly due to the unexpected fall in the profit margins of the poultry and poultry product segment. Sales turnover of this segment was on the expected lines. However, profit margins were affected, which was mainly due to Kumbh Mela, which was lasted for 30 to 45 days in the northern region, wherein major operation of the company is located. The animal health product segment has registered satisfactory performance. Performance of oil seed segment has started showing improvement. For the year as a whole, the performance is somewhat satisfactory, but for the fourth quarter, the overall financial performance would have been better, far better as compared to March 2024. As on 31st March 2025, the cash and cash equivalent is rupees 16.75 crore against last year of 18.83 crore. Company's debt position is of rupees 165.14 crore, whereas the last year it was 167.51 crore. With this briefing, our senior management team is available here to answer all your questions. You may go ahead with the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, can you tell us what was the average realization for broiler and DOC for this quarter vis-a-vis what was it last quarter and the same quarter last year?
Yeah. With regard to broiler bird realization, if we compare Q4 of 2024-25, the broiler bird realization was close to 78 rupees per kg, as against 87 rupees of Q4 2024. With regard to chick realization, it was 39 rupees for Q4 2025, as against 35 of Q4 2024.
Right. And sir, as far as right now, the summer has started, and we have seen improvement in pricing. So can you tell us what is the trend right now?
With regard to the trend of Q1, or rather I can say for the month of April, which has recently, I mean, we have completed April, the realization for broiler bird was not satisfactory because of various reasons. One of the reasons was there was a panic sale because of some mortality on heat waves also. So the realization overall reported for the month of April was to the tune of 80 to 81 rupees, and the chick realization was close to 38 rupees for the month of April.
Right, sir. And sir, at these realizations, what is happening is that we are not making satisfactory margins, or we are not making money. And this is in spite of lack of DOC in the market, at least over the last 6 to 8 months, which has led to lower production of both DOC and broiler birds. And even in that scenario, the industry leader like yourself is not able to make satisfactory numbers. So under what scenario will we make money?
With regard to this question, we would like to analyze some past figures. We have seen that in past few years, there is a consistent growth of poultry with regard to overall placement as well as production. At the same time, the productivity of bird has reached to the extremely high level. So the earlier results, which was evident on 40 days, we were getting 2.2 kg. Now at the age of 40 days, we are getting 2.5 kg. So there is an increase in productivity which is contributing to the tune of 8 to 10% in addition to the normal growth of industry of 7 to 8%. Because of which, sometimes there is an additional production on account of extremely high productivity. At the same time, we have some patches of consumption. So we have a Q2 and Q3 sometimes adding to the lower consumption. At the same time, production cannot be altered to a great extent matching to the consumption level. So when such things happen, definitely the hit is taken by realization. So these are some of the facts with regard to poultry, and we are witnessing the same in terms of when we are analyzing the results. As we rightly said that because of Kumbh Mela, when we hit the consumption, so production could not be altered to great extent because already the cycle is in place, the breeders are in farm, so definitely the production cannot be kept on a suspended level at that point of time.
Right. And sir, we saw anti-dumping duty on oils in October, November, due to which the prices has gone up. But our profitability has only slightly improved QOQ in oil segment. Shouldn't we as a company should have seen much higher improvement in oil price, oil profitability?
No, actually what has happened, it has not been anti-dumping duty. The government, which was levying the 0% duty on edible oils, they increased the rate because the farmers for the local oil seeds were not getting remunerative prices. In fact, the MSP prices have gone below almost 20% below than the government declared MSP prices. So there was a desperate by the government, and they started procurement of the seeds through NAFED. In fact, you can say that almost 25% of the total crop is being holded by NAFED as on today. And another thing that happened, so that is the first time in for a, in a many years, the soya oil prices have gone down below palm oil prices, because the soya imports had gone up
and because biodiesel diversion in Indonesia, the palm oil sales have not come down as expected. Now, I think last 1 month, the things have stabilized, everything is stabilized, and we are seeing the difference in the first month itself. Now, we hope even better things to happen in the coming days. Thank you.
Right, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclic Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, please tell us the per kg cost of maize and soya for Q4.
The cost of maize for quarter four 2024-25 was 24.50 rupees for maize. And with regard to quarter four 2024, the maize price was 23.50 rupees.
Okay.
With regard to soya, the soya price that I'm talking is a DOC price. 24-25, soya price was 31.20 rupees per kg for Q4-25. And for Q4-24, the soya price was 44.30 rupees per kg.
Sir, and for full year, if you could tell us maize price, soya price, broiler realization, DOC realization for full year FY25, year on year.
Sure. For FY25, the maize price was 25.50 rupees. Soya price for FY25 was 37.90 rupees. With regard to broiler realization, it was ranging from 88-91 rupees. For 24, full year, maize price was 22.80 rupees. Soya price was 47.55 rupees. And broiler bird price was 87-88 rupees per kg.
Sir, and DOC?
DOC price, cheap price for FY25 was 38.54. And DOC price for FY24 was 30.70 rupees.
Sir, now our main hit has come, if we see the last few years, more than poultry, the hit that we have seen is coming from the oilseed division, wherein if we see then from a peak revenue of around 2,600, it has less than half to 1,100. And similarly, the EBITDA PBIT has fallen from 134 crore to 19 crore over the past 3 years, which is the lowest since 2015. Sir, so, and even though the poultry segment has bounced back somewhat over the past 2 years, the soya profitability has kept on falling. Now, sir, this is, I assume, due to the ethanol blending from maize, which produces a byproduct known as DDGS, which is a substitute for DOC, basically de-oiled cake from soya that we were selling to the feed industry. And since DDGS is far cheaper, so that is why the DOC prices have fallen. Now, sir, since this trend is not going to reverse, like ethanol blending from maize is expected to continue, so, sir, then, I mean, what are the plans for our oilseed division? Because this is not a one-off. DDGS is here to stay.
Yes, you see, regarding the profitability and turnover, one thing that it has been substantially the worst. Rates have come down almost by 30-35% of the commodity itself. Soya seed, which has gone up to the 70-80 rupees at one point of time, now it is around 42-45 rupees. So that value-wise, it has come down. Number two, what has happened is in the commodity business, the most of the profit comes because we are a cash-rich company, so most of the profit comes from the speculative business when we hold the inventory or when we buy the goods in the season and process it in the off-season. That's the time it gives a lot of profit, which, because the prices have been very low last 2 years and there has been no reason to store the material, Hence, that segment has taken a hit, number one. Number two, because the MSP price has been ruling almost 20% below, the government intervention has been quite, at times, which has been created the instability in the markets. Number one, that soya DOC export prices have not gone up. Number two, they have imposed the oil duties. So the soya oil prices had come down first time in compared to the palm oil. Now these kind of all uncertainties overall, now things have stabilized. People have to accept DDGS also. And we have enough market for the soybean also, because soybean has gotten a better availability of a protein, better availability of a digestibility. Hence, I think it will not be able to compete with the soya DOC, number one. Number two, as far as the DDGS market is concerned, see, though the government is trying to promote this ethanol from the corn, and they have given the special pricing to the ethanol manufactured from the corn, but this was considered when the crude oil prices was at around $80. Now the prices have come down around $60. And if you go some of the experts' opinion, probably it may come down to $55. In that scenario, the ethanol prices given by the government, we have our own regions to see that can it be sustained in the longer run. So that's a very, very big question mark. And as everybody is aware, that crude oil has fallen down drastically, and it is likely to go down further because of the OPEC's decision. So DDGS has got on limitation, whereas the soya has got a lot more potential. So we see that coming days are going to be good for this division. Thank you.
Sir, now another big concern is that the tariff negotiation with US, and if they are able to arm twist us to open our imports of chicken leg piece, which is a waste product in US, and we have already lost the case in WTO. So now if that starts coming, the landed price of which would be 60-70 rupees kg, and sir, leg piece is very popular in India, unlike US. So, I mean, what will happen to us?
This is a hypothetical question, because these are all with the probabilities, what is going to happen and what will happen. So these are all hypothetical discussion. So with regard to current situation, I think we are better poised. Unless and until in actual reality some picture comes in front of us, it's very difficult to comment on this.
Sir, what was the volume growth in the broiler segment, in the soya segment, what was the volume growth? And for this year, what is the expected volume growth in each of our three segments?
In soybean, there has been a degrowth last year because we have undertaken continuous maintenance on our plant. The first half was not that good, so there was a degrowth in the soybean. For this year, we are expecting about 25% growth in the soya DDGS.
Okay. Sir, and what about the broiler?
With regard to poultry, a lot depends on the realization. But considering the overall placement and volume, we are expecting growth of close to 5% to 10%. But still, it depends on the realization. We are expecting better realization for FY26. And if that goes to, then our expectation is close to 5% to 10% in overall growth.
And sir, animal health?
Thank you, it's Deepak Khosla here. For animal health, what we have seen, very consistent performance over the years. And if you see the Q3 of the 23-24 versus 24-25, there's a growth of around 20-21% in the value-wise. And the April month also has been very good. So in AHP segment, we'll see the very stable performance in the coming months. Yes.
Sir, now if we see that our revenues are back to where they used to be in, let's say, 2019, but our receivable that time was 300 crore and now it is 550 crore. Sir, so basically, and sir, most of this receivable is due to the parent company, and parent company is debt free. sir, if parent company was deeply in debt, then it was understandable that the subsidiary is having to support the parent. But parent is debt free, and despite that, they are just like taking 6, 6, 8, 8 month, 9, 9 month credit, which doesn't make any sense. Sir, so by when can shareholders expect something? Sir, because the promoters don't even attend the AGM, so then where do we go and where do we like get accountability?
Yes, Mr. Garg, in regard to the outstanding related to the group company as well as the external customers, there is a small increase in the customer to the outside external customer also due to the business sluggishness and all. But as far as the group association, group outstanding is concerned, that has come down to the level of 171 crore during this year. I mean, 165 crore. Last year, March 24, it was 665 crore, which has come down to the level of 500 crore. So that means there is a, inflow of 165 crore outstanding level, which is further will reduce as we progress thereafter. There are different reasons, different business which are interlocated, interlinked. So, but there is a decline in the outstanding level, even in the associate also, because associate, not only the one product is being sold, there are multiple products, multiple companies are being sold to the from the group company which are interrelated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we request you to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Kiran, who is from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
I said my questions are with respect to poultry only. Question, sir, from a poultry perspective, what states account for 80% of revenue? I mean, is it like Uttar Pradesh plus Punjab plus Haryana account for 80% or 70% of our revenue, or is it Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh, Punjab and Haryana? I mean, if I can just understand, because from what we have done our market research, prices across states vary a lot, both for the broiler and day-old chicks. Maharashtra is very, very different, and Madhya Pradesh is very, very different than Uttar Pradesh. So it will really help all our shareholders to understand what states account for 70% of revenue. I'm not looking for a statewide split. I'm just saying these three states or these four states account for 70 to 80% of revenue.
Okay. As far as the Venkis is concerned, in regard to the poultry, which is comprises of broiler chicks, layer chicks and ready birds, it is located from Jammu Kashmir to Bihar mainly, and as well as Gujarat if you add. So all these states are having the operation of broiler chicks, day-old chicks, layer chicks, day-old chicks, as well as the ready birds. UP is having an upcoming market wherein production is less, but there is a consumption. So we are placed in almost every state. Very recently we started in the Jammu Kashmir, where it was, we were not having the presence. So we started, Venkis has started the operation of birds and ready birds. Though we were there in the old chicks of broiler, but we are trying to be placed in every state wherever, so that we can get the margins, average rate realization of all the state wherever our presence is there. So we are having the pack production of broiler chicks, layer chicks, ready bird in all the states starting from Jammu Kashmir, Haryana, Punjab, HP, Rajasthan and UP and even Bihar also. So we are better placed in regard to the business. But if you say UP is a consumption center, may not be a productivity center. Haryana is a productivity center, may not be a consumption center. So different parameters are there, different consumption levels are there to understand the requirement. But our presence is at all places in terms of productivity, production as well as the marketing. Thank you.
Sir, just a follow-up on that, sorry. Sir, we have from a poultry division FY25, 1927 crore, right? So let's say 2000 crore roughly, right? 2000 crore revenue from poultry division from our facilities for Venkis India in the poultry division, right? 2000 crore. Now this 2000 crore is entirely consumption driven, right? Nothing to do with productivity per se. So my general simple question is, out of this 2000 crore, what can I attribute, or what state, what three, four states can I attribute 1500 crore revenue to?
See, our presence is in North India and West India. Roughly, if we want to break this turnover, close to 65 to 70% turnover comes from Northern India, and balance 30 to 35% turnover comes from Western India. So this is a rough bifurcation of the total turnover.
Got it. And when you said, sir, when you say Northern India, sir, Rajasthan, Punjab, Haryana, are those the three major states, and Uttar Pradesh consumption is lower, so I'll not consider that. Is that a fair assumption?
Uttar Pradesh also, from our point of view, we are considering as a Northern India operation.
Okay. Okay, sir. So that was first question. So second question, sir, then is from a DOC perspective and a broiler perspective, again, this is market research on at the end retailer or different market players who are providing market research services as well. They say, look, broiler prices are about 105 to 110 as of today, sir. Again, it's changing every day. 105 to 110 and DOC prices are anywhere between 38 to 40. Last month, they were about 45. DOC prices were at 45. Right? Today, it is at 38 to 40. So when it is 45, sir, so April, you mentioned that, you know, April we had about 38 rupees of realization for DOC. And then let's just talk about DOC only. So April, we said it is 38. The prices based on, you know, retail price were about 45. So that's the 7 rupee differential. Is that a fair assumption? Like for today, it is 38 rupees. So the realization for Venkis would be 31 rupees. Is that a fair rough calculation?
When we talk of realization, we talk of actual realization. When you are seeing any rate, those are the declared prices. And the declared prices declared on a different forum can be different. So when we talk of Venkis, this is the actual realization at the end of month. So we are talking on a realization basis, because realization consists of a lot of things. And finally, whatever has been realized, that is the actual realization. So 38 rupees for the month of April was actual realization, though the declared price might be 40 rupees to 42 rupees at a different platform.
Got it, sir. So just that clarity, sir. So today, I know it's not for month of May, but just today, let's say it is 38 rupees as a some website publishes 38 rupees. Then our realization might be 32 or 33 rupees or whatever. It is lesser than 38. Is that a fair assumption?
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Merisys Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, sir, I see a sudden jump in the other expenses. So, can you explain, what is the reason behind it?
Yes, the other expenses, other miscellaneous expenditure in this year 24-25 is the 18.90 crore, which was against previous year, it was 17.58 crore. So, hardly there is an increase. It is 7% increase over the previous year. Now 18.90 crore, which is then the other miscellaneous expenditure, is mainly on account of the go down expenses for feed. We are having the broiler contract broiler business division, wherein almost 28 branches are located. With each branch, we need to have a go down space for the storage of feed, for so that bird feed can be distributed to the birds and all. And similarly, the other expenditure is also included. There is a list of expenditure which is included there in 18.90 crore. So same was in the previous year also. There is not a major change or major increase thereof.
Okay, okay. Because other expenses are degrowing, that's why it just came to my mind. Okay, okay. Fair point. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Nayan Agrawal, who is from Agility Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
So I wanted to know that even though the PAT has been increasing for the past 3 years, there has been a sales degrowth for around 1,000 crores. So what could be the reason for that?
There is no reduction in the turnover to the extent of 1,000 crore. There is a reduction of turnover to the extent of 400 crore. In few segments, we have increased the turnover to the extent of 171 crore on yearly basis, wherein one segment it was 600 crore less. So overall there is a reduction of 400 to 450 crore turnover over the last year. There is no 1000 crore reduction in any way.
Okay, and so the next question would be, so like as we in the broiler segment, so you have said that the broiler has been formed after 8 years of R&D. So even after the specialized broiler, and as you said that the feed conversion ratio is reducing, so why has the revenues in poultry segment still flat, and why have we not gained any market share in poultry segment?
Just a moment. There is a steady increase in the overall revenue of poultry. If you talk of poultry segment for 24, we have reported 1755 crore of poultry turnover. As against this year, we are reporting 1927 crore of poultry turnover. So all put together, there is definitely an increase in overall turnover of poultry. As I said in my previous answer, that a lot depends on the realization, because when we are comparing, I mean, the overall turnover realization impacts a lot for adding or reducing the turnover. So last year, overall realization was to the extent of more or less same with regard to what it was in FY24. Though the realization was flat, but still the turnover has increased to 10%. That indicates that there is an overall growth in poultry sector.
Okay. And so the last question would be from the AHP segment. As you said that the new CAPEX was active from December 24, and the guidance you gave for revenues was approximately 20%, that was 62 crores on that current revenues. So the CAPEX to revenue ratio will still be 1:1, 1:1, or will it increase in FY26?
Yeah, in the AHP segment, we have made some investment in the last financial year. And I told you the product started the production from April, May onward of the last financial year. The result of the product production and the new information what we have introduced have seen the effect from the September onwards. And generally to March, the last quarter of 24-25 and 23-24, is a marked improvement has been seen. Yes. And for CAPEX, I think related to CAPEX, Mr. Handa can answer if anything.
No, the capital expenditure is incurred, but in this year, if you see the AHP segment, the turnover is 339 crore against the previous turnover of 310 crore. So there is a growth of turnover to the extent of 9% over the last year, which is a reasonable number because it is not a full year's number. It is a part of the year's number.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is with respect to the strategic initiative of CAPEX of 70 crore toward SPF egg expansion. Like, how much of the current SPF capacity is utilized and what is the expected ROI and payback for this project?
So as far as the SPF capacity is concerned, we have a large capacity to the extent of 188 lakh bird placement capacity, but since it is a livestock business and bio-related, many issues are there. We are utilizing to the extent of 60-65% productivity out of that, and the same production is being sold. There are a lot of chances and a lot of scope for the export business also, and this year the export business is almost more than double. Last year it was 7 crore something, this year it is almost 20 crore. Export business is also there, and there are a lot of inquiries. So when we start the expansion in the SPF business, it takes almost 2 years to come back to the production. If we start today, it will take 2 years time. So there is a long-term goal, and the capacity also enhanced to the level. So that's why the expansion is there, going on to be there for 70 crore, which will take almost a year's time to complete.
Okay, Are you supplying to any vaccine manufacturers?
Yes. Yes, yes. Our product is mainly to be supplied to the vaccine manufacturers for human as well as the poultry.
And sir, would you be able to give any like potential for ready to cook spices that you're venturing into? Any estimated revenue potential?
Yeah, there is a good potential for ready-to-eat chicken products, and we are already supplying to the retail, then we are supplying to the various institutions and e-commerce. In addition to that, we are also supplying to various quick service restaurant chains.
Spices.
So, sir, your question is regarding to ready-to-eat chicken spices. Or ready-to-cook spices?
Spices.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The spices, now we will be starting a production shortly, which will be in the next quarter. And we have prepared these products with the understanding that all the product, these spices will require a minimum intervention at the cooking level. And you need to only add certain oil, some amount of oil, and some certain amount of water for cooking the products. And it will be that spices will have all the ingredients which is normally required, and these will be all Indian, mostly authentic Indian test. So we feel that there is a good scope for local market as well as export for these products.
Would it be possible for you to give me an estimated revenue potential for at least FY26 where you are going to start?
Just a minute. Right now, it is very difficult to assess because we will be looking for the export market as in the initial stage. But once the production starts, we can definitely confirm in after 1 or 2 quarters when the production starts.
Thank you, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Khandelwal from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. This year has been a lot better than the last one, I guess. I wanted to understand this SDF egg expansion, as the previous participant also asked this question. So I'll refrain from repeating that. But you mentioned 188 lakh bird placement capacity. That is before the expansion, right? Like current capacity is that much.
Yes, it is true that the total annual capacity of all the plant is 188 lakh eggs production. I'm taking the egg production. It is the
egg number production.
Of birds may be different. Is the egg production 188 lakh
okay.
capacity?
And, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And with the 70 crores expansion that you have, that we have planned, how much will we be adding on to that?
There are almost which we have planned is that total 6 houses which are going to built up for the placement of birds, which will be likely okay. to be somewhere around 40,000 birds annually.
Okay, and they'll produce close to 100 to 200 eggs per year, or how does it work?
It is more. It will be more if all the flocks are fully placed with the birds. If the birds are not placed due to biosecurity level, sometimes shed rate is also necessary. The many biosecurity reasons are there, but the potential is there with us. We can take out the production if the demand comes and all.
Okay. All right, and for the birds, so the chicks we procure from our group company itself, or do we have to go outside to procure these chicks?
No, for SPF line, it's not the bird which you are procuring from in-house. It is a basic grandparent.
These are special lines, and usually it's a research product, and I mean, whenever we are talking of any research product, we have some in-house research also. And that produces and the chicks and those chicks are placed as SPF birds.
Okay. But that is taken up in the group companies, not the listed entity.
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that'll be all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. One is, if I look at the poultry and poultry product segment, are a bit for the year has been 100 crore. While if I look at last 5-6 years trend, say FY 17, 18, 19 and 21, we were somewhere around 180 to 280 crore of EBIT. What sort of realization in broiler and DOC we need to cross that 200 crore of EBIT, and maybe probably what kind of RMs in terms of per kg, what needs to be there basically to reach that 200 crore of EBIT in the poultry? That's my question.
Thank you. Yeah, with regard to the profitability pertaining to poultry division, a lot depends on the ingredient price. If you recollect the profitability of the particular year which you quoted, if you go back to that particular year, you will find that the overall ingredient prices for the particular year was exceptionally low. And that has contributed a lot to the profitability. And from last 3-4 years, there was definitely a crunch on the commodity segment and with regard to particularly soya and maize, because of lot of geopolitical as well as domestic equation, the prices of maize has strengthened a lot. So nowhere the price of maize has come down below 23 rupees, which earlier was quite less. Same was the case with soya. Fortunately, last year was good for soya. This year, with regard to April, also the soya prices have reported subdued and, I mean, quite comfortable. If that continues, and you never know, that kind of performance can be repeated. But a lot depends on the ingredient price.
Okay. So my second question is on the same. Like, would you be able to guide like what kind of trend is expected for soya and maize prices for FY26?
Soya is going to be the stable now. The prices have come down drastically, almost by 25 to 30%. We expect that next coming years it will be the stable prices. And maize, it lot depends on the ethanol policy, and which we are likely to see that in next couple of months the crude oil prices will be coming down, and that will have a major impact on the corn prices, and that we have to see. But the ethanol can have a lot of impact on the pricing of a corn. Thank you.
Okay. And the third and last question in the oil seed segment, I think is one of the questions, one of the answers you guys highlighted, April was good. And if I look at the EBIT number, right, again for this segment has been close to bottom. So is it fair to say we are at the bottom of the cycle in the oil seed segment, and the EBIT numbers what we saw probably say if not 22, but maybe say FY20, FY21, like 60-70 crore of EBIT level is possible in this year, basically. Or what could restrict the profitability in the oilseed segment for this year? Yeah, that's all for me.
Yes, now the beginning has been good because more or less the soya market is stabilized. Now you see, this is a commodity market. The profit comes from the two segments. One is the normal conversion charges. From soybean you convert it, that margin is very low. And major profit is stock valuations. When you buy the material in advance and then process it at a later stage, you are able to take the advantage of the market. So that profit is significant in the commodity market. Right now we do not see that kind of a situation happening because prices are more or less stable, and we do not see any kind of speculation happening at this place unless some natural thing happens. So we can expect a good profitability, definitely, but not the highest what we had achieved in the past. But profitability has been improving, and this is the bottom you can expect what has been this year.
Okay, great. So that's all from my side, and wishing best of luck to the upcoming quarters.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclic Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at our poultry segment versus our competitor, EBS Exports, sir, they have grown their revenue at 20% YOY from 2020 to 2025. So, and they source their chick from Aviation. Sir, so is there an issue where Aviation has become more aggressive in placing their chicks in the market? That's why we are losing our share to our competitors?
Yeah. With regard to poultry and comparison with our competitor, there are two basic prominent differences. One is that when you are talking of Winkies India Limited, it is having operation pertaining to two zones, that is West Zone and North Zone. With regard to the comparison what you did, they are having a presence all over India. Secondly, when you are talking of Winkies, you can see the portfolio of Winkies. Winkies portfolio is completely well balanced. So we are not going alone in a poultry because we have total 3 to 4 segments in Winkies, out of which one is a poultry. And if you see the breakup of poultry vis-a-vis other segments of Winkies India Limited, poultry contributes close to 45% to 50%. So when you are talking of Winkies, we are talking of only 45 to 50%. Rest 55 to 50% comes from other divisions, that is soya as well as AHP. So we believe in balancing of the portfolio, and Winkies portfolio is balanced, whereas the company which you are comparing, they are exclusively into poultry. I hope I have answered your question.
Right, sir, but if I remove the geographical factor, still, sir, their revenue has grown up by 2x, more than 2x in the 5-year period, but our revenue has grown from 1500 crores in 2020 to 2000 crores in 2025. Sir, so that is at a much lower growth rate than what the competitor has done. Sir, so overall, if I consider the chick placement that Winkies India has versus our competitor, sir, has our parent company lost market share? That's why we are facing a slower growth, volume growth than what our competitors are.
Numbers are different in the states.
As far as overall placement is concerned, when we talk of a breeder placement all over India basis, breeder placement of Vencop vis-a-vis competitor, that comes to 80 to 85% is of Vencop and close to 15 to 20% is of competitor, of which IB is one of the competitors, and they are placing it all over India. Whereas, as far as Winkies is concerned, as you rightly said, that we are having placement only in two regions, that is West Zone and Northern India. But if you are talking of overall growth, poultry is growing to the tune of 8% to 10%, and we are matching that pace as far as overall growth of poultry is concerned, overall put together.
Okay, got it. Sir, in our animal health segment, sir, what would be the optimum revenue potential for this segment? And sir, can we expect this 20% growth to continue for the next 3-4 years?
Yeah, actually what happens if you think of last quarter of 24-25, which I mentioned, as compared to 23-24. The last quarter is in the same direction, and April has been very good. We are very optimistic on animal health performance in the coming year. With the new plant, you know, fully commissioned, and the capacity has definitely has improved, and all the regulatory clearances, compliances has been there. It will be very consistent and a very respectable growth in the coming years. I can assure you. Thank you.
Sir, so what is the new potential of this capacity and capacity utilization currently?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. What happens from the new facility what we have made, it is now at the around 55 to 60% levels of the capacity utilization. And we have started exploring some new product line from that division. This will definitely add to the volumes. Yes, please.
Well, sir, just a final question, sir. I think we commissioned one solid plant and one liquid plant. Sir, so is there any possibility of margin improvement in this segment going forward?
Yes, definitely, because the first year it was a commissioning of the plant. Definitely margin will be very stabilized and very positive. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Vanit Singh from Counter Cyclic PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, my questions have been answered, but I would like to understand, we saw significant fall in margins, and specifically in the poultry segment in Q4, from about 38 CR to about 4 CR. So, I mean, I would like to understand the impact of Kumbh in this. So, I mean, can you quantify what kind of, can you quantify how much fall in EBITDA can be directly attributed to lower consumption due to Kumbh in Q4?
So, during the Kumbh period, it was having the effect on almost all the segments in the different states. Though the Kumbh was there in the UP only, but transportation, logistics, movement of goods, movement of raw materials, movement of finished products has affected a lot. Due to that, a lot of realization has got affected, particularly in February and March. That has impacted the last quarter. Otherwise, there is no reason, because the numbers were having a pack. We were having the production, the day-old chicks, broiler chicks, day-old chicks as well as the birds. But due to the prices were not behaving well the way it was expected, due to all these numbers, all these reasons, maybe of transportation, movement, freely movement of goods, and so all those things are affected ultimately, which has, after Kumbh, those things are improved. Though there 1 or 2 weeks was sluggish because the material was jammed kind of thing, but now April is also a very positive month. Even the current period is also a positive month, which due to the Kumbh, those things are already over. Thank you.
All right. So, I mean, our EBITDA fell from about, in the poultry segment, 38 CR to about 4 CR. So, I mean, had there been no Kumbh or a normal Q4, I mean, if we put aside the effects of Kumbh, would we be seeing about similar EBITDAs as last year in the poultry segment?
To some extent, yes. I mean, it's very difficult to comment whether it would have compensated that 34 of the last previous quarter or not, but definitely it would have been added what it is.
All right, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gada, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, I would like the revenue breakup for the poultry segment for FY25. And comparative figures for FY24 for grown-up boilers, dual chicks, and processed chicken.
As far as the volume is concerned, in the poultry segment, we were having the broiler dual chicks. It is sold 10.77 crore against corresponding period of 23-24. It was 10.78 crore chicks, dual chicks. Similarly, the layer chicks, dual chicks, it is sold 4.38 crore in 24-25. And in the last year, it is 4.32 crore in 23-24. And same way, the broiler birds, it was 9.17 crore kg in 24-25, whereas in the previous year, it was 8.83 crore. And similarly, for the SPFX, it was 91 lakh in this year as well as the 91 lakh in the previous year. So broiler hatching eggs, it was 9 lakh sold in this year, whereas 23 lakhs was sold in the previous year. Layer hatchings, it was sold 29 lakhs this year, whereas the last year it was 32 lakhs eggs were sold. So these are the poultry numbers, volume-based, last year versus this year.
And I just wanted to ask, like, the ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook revenues are included in the processed chicken revenue, so, like, it's different.
Yes, it is included in the poultry and poultry segment.
Could you just quantify those numbers for me for ready-to-eat segment?
For processed chicken, it is 110.27 lakh kgs in the this year 24-25, whereas it was last year it was 61.37 lakh kg in 23-24. But there is a product mix difference. Is the live bird sales in this year, whereas other than the, this product mix is different in the earlier year.
And the revenue for the same for processed chicken?
That will be published in the balance sheet. We don't have the numbers now.
So I just wanted to ask the ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook segment, we had some marketing spends budget that was going to increase for the last two quarters of Q3 and Q4. Could you just quantify the number? And for this year, what's the guidance for the marketing spend?
We don't have the numbers now. You can email us. We'll provide that.
And I just wanted to know a marketing strategy for the ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook segment because right now, since the last two quarters, we have been aggressive in the quick commerce and e-commerce. Any growth in percentage terms you can quantify and how aggressive are we in that segment and what numbers do we wish to have in the next 3 to 5 years?
Actually, in processed food division, we have three sectors where we market. One sector is supply to the quick service restaurant chains, and this quick service restaurant chain supply is increasing on a regular basis. So that is one sector which we are supplying. Another sector is retail market, what we were marketing in a modern trade or regional modern trade or general trade. But last 2 years, there is an emerging trend that e-commerce is increased substantially, and there is a lot of close down of certain modern trade chains. And with that, and post-COVID also, we experienced that a lot of consumers are looking for the e-commerce chain for the supply of the products. So definitely, we have concentrated our efforts for marketing our products through e-commerce sector, and that sector is now improving on a regular basis. We expect the increase in our sales for this sector to more than 25% to 30% in next year compared to this year.
Okay, 25% to 30% of ready-to-eat and ready-to-cook for the retail segment, right? And as a brand, because
retail, this includes retail segment also for the quick service restaurant chain, both the sectors. But yes, it will be, the growth will be this much.
And the current pie in the total revenue would be for these two segments?
We will percentage, tell me again.
The current percentage for the total revenue of poultry segment would be for these two segments? Any particular number, not accurate, just approximate number would be 5.
It would be 5 to 10%.
Yeah, it's around 10%. 10% for the total poultry segment, right? So,
hello?
Yeah. So, I just wanted to add on further. So if we have like 10% revenues from these two segments in the total poultry, and considering the AHP business, which is contributing to around 10% of revenue, these two are the only businesses in our portfolio which we have certain power of pricing power. So I just wanted to get a feedback from the company, like how aggressive are we in these segments so that these segments can grow in the total revenue share so that our margins remain consistent and not fluctuate and are not on the basis of the commodity prices or the average realization price of the board. So how are we looking at that?
Yeah, as in the few minutes before, Dr. Pedagankar had mentioned, Givenchy is very well balanced place with different portfolios. Portfolios of poultry products including processing and SPF, Rio Chicks. Then you have the oil seed division, then the animal health business. Animal health business has been very consistent because the animal health product line is little bit not much get those kind of a shocks of the behavior of the poultry commodity market. So it's very consistent. And with the expansion, which is definitely a direction towards the growth in this segment in the future, and definitely this segment will become more and more significant into the contribution to the Venky's top line. That's what we see now. And it is already some new product innovation, some new introduction has been done, and we have already started exporting to some other countries. So this is going into the same direction. It's very consistent, very stable, and very futuristic. Thank you.
And just a last bit of follow-up for this. Could you just guide for the segment for the FY26? I couldn't get the numbers previously, so I just... For these QSR and retail, the AHP business, sorry, QSR and retail, you said 25 to 30%. What's the AHP business guidance for this year?
Yeah, we are at around 340 crores this financial year, 24, when we close 24-25. We are looking forward for the top line growth of 15% for the 25-26.
Thank for you. HP. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for asking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Gupta, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Yes. Sir, my first question is on the land holding of the company. Can you throw some highlight on that? The total land owned by the company, maybe as at the end of FY25?
We'll get back to you, sir, on this question. Because this land is scattered at various locations, so we'll have to do an exercise for this to have a perfect number. We'll get back to you.
Okay, sir. Sir, my previous participants have also asked this question. I'm just reiterating the same. If you can just throw some numbers around there. Group's current production capacity of FPSX is 188 lakh X. Have I got that correct?
Yes, yes.
Now, how many bird placements do you believe were required for this 188 lakh X? Any rough idea? Because the expanded capacity is for 40,000 bird placements.
Yes, that is a capacity which is under construction or under
expansion
and all. But the 188 lakh, the number which I have given as a capacity, but that is installed capacity kind of thing. It all depends on the placement of birds, depending on the biosecurity reasons or other requirement of the market as well as. So all those things, and you'll have to give the shed rest also between 2 months to 3 months between the flocks. So those are many decisions which are related to this business. As we get the good orders, we may extend those things. Otherwise, the shed rest may be continued from two months to even 4 months also, so that the biosecurity level be good for the productivity and all.
Sir, while I understand this logic, my only, that is the reason I stated in the beginning, we can get some numbers to this. 188 lakh at production would have a corresponding bird placement number, a rough number, correct? And a 40,000 expansion, as I may achieve, would give a rough idea of what the total egg production could be. And hence, either the number on 188 lakh egg production bird placement is good enough for us to calculate, or what is the expected egg production capacity out of the 40,000 bird placement, either of these two numbers would be good enough. If you could just throw numbers on this.
Yeah, as we recently have stated that a lot of factor depends because these are strict quality norms product. When we are talking of specific pathogen-free egg, this is not the kind of commodity egg where in normal commodity egg per bird we are getting 300 to 330 eggs. That is a normal commodity or a table egg which we are getting. But when we are talking of eggs, there are a lot of parameters which are strictly checked on a quality basis. So this ranges from 100 eggs to 150 to 200 eggs depending on the quality parameters per bird. So when he has mentioned you that he is getting 188 lakh, I mean this number cannot be exactly the same pertaining or relating to the total number of the birds. So it depends on lot of quality parameters. Those quality parameters are being passed, then only that number can be correlated. But to answer your question, it can be 120 to 280 eggs per bird. It can be any number out of this because it is very difficult to estimate right now because a lot of quality parameters decide selection or rejection of egg. So selection of rejection of egg, whatever the number he has stated, 188 lakh, that is a completely selected number which might be from X number of the birds or Y number of the birds.
Okay, sir. Sir, my next question is the current cost of production for broiler and chicks. And do we see any gains there out of as compared to the average cost of production for FY25 or do we see an increase there?
As we have stated that the prices of soya is constant for FY24 and FY25. However, the prices of maize has increased by 10% compared to 24 in FY25. So there is an increase in maize price. However, the soya price is constant. With regard to production cost of broiler hatching eggs, in addition to this, there are two, three factors which are, one is overheads and others are compulsory, which are like electricity and other charges. That has been increased. So there is a marginal increase in overall production cost of hatching eggs. However, there is no much increase in cost of production of hatching eggs on account of ingredient prices.
And we expect the same trend to continue in FY26 as well?
Yes, because the outlook for commodity with regard to soya, as mentioned by Toshnal sir, is the constant. However, maize is uncertain. If we consider that maize, the same price continues, then outlook for broiler hatching egg production cost will remain the same.
Thank you, sir. So,
thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma Investments. Please go ahead.
No, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take this as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this call. In case any queries have remained unanswered, please feel free to send us an email and we will respond accordingly. Thank you. I think we can conclude the call.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.